Oh, yeah. Now it is showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. And every Thursday, we are live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Joe, how many bowls of oatmeal have you had so far?
I am on my fourth.
Okay.
Well, I got here at 8 o'clock. So.
Well, you know, that's cool. You love the oatmeal.
I love Kitchen Notes, man. It's the People's Hotel. The People's Show at the People's Hotel today. And congrats to our friends at the Omni, named the number two most desired, recommended, attended hotel in North America. Did you see that?
I did. That's awesome.
Heck
that's
yeah,
fantastic news. And, you know, everybody here, obviously, we work with Todd Rodemel quite a bit.
Todd.
You know, they all deserve a lot of credit. But it's a team effort, just like this show. Dr. Crane here as well. What's up, Dr. Crane?
Hello, gentlemen. How are we doing this fine morning?
We're good. We're good. You know, things are we used to the cicadas yet? I mean, I know I don't think they're the worst that they're going to be, but, you know, I had a few fly around and hit me yesterday, and I sucker punched them. And
so my neighbor did
sent them to their maker.
My neighbor did a sound, a decibel thing, and they were at 90 decibels the other day. This is 24 hours a day, and I said, if I wanted that kind of screaming and yelling, I'd get married again. I mean, it's constant.
So I do have a question for you both. It's not a question of the day, but it's a question. Do you both remember in 2010 in the FIFA World Cup, it was in South Africa, they had those vuvuzelas or whatever it is, those annoying little horns? What's more annoying, that or cicadas?
Cicadas, because I can't kill you if you use a vuvuzela. Yeah. I can step on cicadas.
The fact that what's more annoying is the fact that you assumed we watched the World Cup.
Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No, I actually do remember that. And that was like a big thing. Like everybody was complaining about the vuvuzelas or whatever. Like,
yep.
You know.
And that continued on.
And I
kind
of feel
things.
Like that is really when we entered the phase of the world that we're in now where we have to complain about everything.
That was pretty annoying, though.
Yeah, well, it was annoying.
That was really annoying.
That was like Twitter was starting to be – that's what it was starting to become. So, anyway, the NFL schedule is out. Titans only get one primetime game, and it's the same primetime game they had last year. We were at it.
Right.
Monday Night Football in Miami.
And Jeffrey Simmons tweets out basically like, come on, man. Jeffrey, you were on that team last year. Y'all were awful.
Yeah.
Do you think you deserve a prime time? You don't.
Well, no, he was mad about the early bye, the bye week being week
five. I thought
five.
He was mad about no primetime games.
Maybe he was about that, but I know he was mad about the bye week.
Well, I mean, you can't control that. But as far as, like, do you think people outside of Nashville want to watch the Tennessee Titans?
No.
Reality check, they don't.
Nope.
We've been dealing with this for 25 years. It's okay now. Nobody cares about the Titans. The Titans are a bottom eight team. They're a bottom eight franchise. Nobody outside Nashville proper wants to see this football team. Earn it.
So they'll open their season at Chicago against Caleb Williams, his first game.
Love it.
I talked to our buddy Ryan Porth last night because I was like, hey, that could be an easy game to go to. He said the get-in price last night on the secondary market that he was looking at just last night was over $300.
Well, you're a media member, so
I know,
you're good to
I know,
go.
But I mean, like – you know, just kind of looking at it from that standpoint, I was curious.
Remember when the Bears fans came and drank our city dry?
Yeah, because
2012.
Well, because the Blackhawks and the Bears were here at the same time.
Bears.
So they got us for like a week.
Yeah.
So
that was something else. Yeah. So I like that first game because Caleb Williams is going to be nervous. If I'm Denard Wilson, is that the DC, right?
Yeah.
I'm sending the farm after him in that game.
Everybody. Blitz his ass off.
Every single play. So I like that first game. What they play the Bears. And later on, we're going to run down the schedule and what these other opposing cities, their most famous and notorious criminals.
So we're actually going to do that.
I got it right, this right here. I wrote them down. We'll do that. At 9:15, we'll do that.
Okay. Greg Wyshynski will also join us. The Jets will be the home opener. So Aaron Rodgers, if he can make it through one game this year.
Right.
We'll come to Nashville at Nissan Stadium in week two.
Which I like that because who do the Jets play week one?
Niners.
At?
49ers, so you got the travel.
And so they're not back home until like Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're losing 2 days of prep.
Are they getting punished because it's like last year the NFL was like, oh, Aaron Rodgers with the Jets, we're going to feature them on everything, and then Rodgers gets hurt after four plays. So it's like, no. You got to spend your first 2 weeks on the road.
Right.
You got to go to San Francisco, then Nashville.
Yeah.
Then we'll finally let you go home.
Did you see what the 49ers got again? They played four of their games are coming off teams that have a bye week.
Oh, wow.
So they've got a little
– I think I saw the Texans had three straight primetime games.
Could be. I don't
– They got a ton of primetime games.
What are you going to watch? I'd rather watch them than the Titans.
Green Bay in week three, and then that's here, and then in Miami in week four, and then the bye week. And then first division game against Indy after the bye in Nashville. They got two – this is the tough part of the schedule, in my opinion. Two back-to-back road games at Buffalo, at Detroit. Then they're back here for New England. They go to Los Angeles to take the Chargers in week 10. Vikings in Nashville in week 11. And then two straight home game or road games again at Houston, which is the weekend after Thanksgiving, at Washington December 1st.
Right.
Back-to-back home games with Jacksonville and Cincinnati, because apparently Cincinnati's in the division now when it comes to the Titans. And then back-to-back division road games at Indy, at Jacksonville, and then close the season at home on a TBD date, either a Saturday or Sunday, against Texans.
Oh, goodness. Well, look, the crucial game is, that whole schedule, what's the most crucial game?
The first one?
Attaboy! Yes!
And you've they got the preseason schedule as well. San Francisco, who, you know.
Oh, here or there?
Here. San Francisco and Seattle here at New Orleans.
So when I worked at Channel 2 back in the day, Channel 2 had the preseason games.
I loved when you did sidelines.
Thank you. There was an edict of no more West Coast preseason games. When I was there, this was 15, 20 years ago, because it was, you're not starting until 9 o'clock locally.
Yeah.
So you're blowing out, you know, your 10 o'clock news, you're blowing out a lot of program that you have there. So they went to the West Coast like just a couple of times, people complained about it. So San Francisco's there, or is here, or Seattle?
Seattle's here.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And then what's the third game?
At New Orleans.
Okay. I'd like to go to that. It's preseason.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do a little weekend down in New Orleans. Dr. Crane, you want to go to New Orleans?
Absolutely. I've been dying to go.
Well, have you ever been?
I've never been.
Listen, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm willing to take you, but I would be really nervous letting you loose in New Orleans for the first time.
We have to put him on those little leashes.
Yeah. I'm really scared.
What am I, five, Joe?
Yeah, no, in New Orleans, yes.
Yeah, you are.
Because here's the thing. They're going to look at you, and they're just going to see, like, fresh meat. That's what they're going
to
see.
I will tell you, every time you go to New Orleans, Dr. Crane, it takes 3 months off your life.
Oh, boy.
So just know that.
The one time – I've been in New Orleans one time. I have never – in my it was for WrestleMania 30. I have never had a hangover like I had – in New Orleans. And it was the first night, like, get there and go, you know what, to the wall.
Yeah.
And going down Bourbon Street, and like, it's like, I could drink on the street. This is awesome. And I was 26 probably.
Oh my goodness.
And so, like, I'm drinking Hurricanes, and they had these grenade drinks or whatever that was like four different kinds of liquor.
Ugh, pass.
I mean, I was obliterated, and then woke up the next morning and literally felt like somebody had just taken a baseball bat and just hit me over the head with it.
I love
four
that.
Or five times.
I still say every major sporting event should be played in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And just unleash people on Bourbon Street. It's that fantastic. Now, Las Vegas is kind of taking over that, but Bourbon Street's condensed. Las Vegas is sprawling, and just have everything go there. But it's a preseason game. It'd be a lot of fun to go down there and do that.
Well, if we go, just call me Dr. Crane, the Raging Cajun, on Bourbon Street.
Yeah. All right.
You will be raging, all right. There's no doubt
no
about
doubt.
It. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can weigh in on our phone and text line, 615-737-1025. That's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Greg Wyshynski going to join us at the bottom of the hour, the latest on the Stanley Cup playoffs. But coming up next, Big Joe has done his research.
Right.
And the most notorious criminals from each city that the Titans will play in.
This is why our city's the best. That's right.
This should be interesting. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
And they knew that it was much more than a hunt, that this group must somehow form
Joe.
A family.
The Chasing Big Joe Bunch here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes today. Always enjoy being here. We'll get to Joe's research in a second.
Yeah.
But feel free to weigh in on the text line. Just remember, when you do text in, that gives me the authority to read it on the air. Stephen from Clarksville says, can we please petition to get rid of Stillman? His voice is annoying. His favorite thing to do is mock whining voice, which sounds like nails on a chalkboard, and his daily 8-hour monologue rants are the worst. Stephen, thank you for writing in. The answer to that is no.
You know what I take away from that? Stephen listens to Jared every day.
Yep.
So thank you, Stephen.
Thank you for listening, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Yes.
You and a lot of people that complain about Jared listen every day.
I ran into a guy yesterday, and I said, yeah, I'm on. He's like, oh, I know you're Big Joe. No. He's like, well, what about that boy in the afternoon? And I was like, who? He's like, that Stillman guy. I tell you what, I sit in the car and just laugh for hours. I'm like, as a station as a whole, we appreciate you listening as much as you can.
Look.
Whether it's to us or to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace or to Robbie, we don't care as long as you listen.
I will say this, you know, as someone that has been here, I mean, you were here at the beginning. I've been here almost over 12 years and about to hit my 12th anniversary as an actual employee.
Nice.
It's been fun to watch this thing grow, but we're the best we've ever been. Like, top to bottom lineup. Is the best it's ever
been. That's a Toby Keith song, man.
Yeah, it is. Robbie and Rex Road in the mornings, our show now, Caroline, Willie, and D. Mason, Jared. And look, you can disagree with Jared. You can not like Jared.
That's the point.
But he's different. And he does a great job. And I will say this because I've witnessed it. I've been around it for 8 years now. He will outwork anyone. And anybody that ever says, like, oh, he doesn't prep or he doesn't – I will very nicely you were full of it.
Although I do love the fact that Rex Road toasted Jared about Charles Barkley being a center. That was an awful, awful, awful take. Anybody that watched Charles Barkley knows that he was not a center.
Yeah. Skyler says Jared Stillman is the best, but we all hate him. Would square up with him on site in Nashville. And that's fine. That's what he wants.
The point. Yeah, that's it.
That's the point.
It works out fine. So, yes.
All right. So you have done some research. Looking at the Titans schedule and the cities that – they play at, and you have looked up the most notorious criminals from each city.
Well, here's the deal.
When you texted me this last night, I was like, do we really want to do this?
Not really. You know what a mnemonic device is?
I kind of.
It's something you tie on your finger as a remember. Oh, why is my this title?
Oh, to help you remember. Yeah.
All right. So this is going to help you remember the Titans schedule in 2024.
This should be interesting.
First game is Chicago. Most notorious criminal gangster Chicago.
Al Capone.
It's very, very simple there. So you remember first game, Al Capone. Second game is the Jets. New York, Son of Sam.
Yeah.
1977, the blackout in New York City, Son of Sam was notorious, not gangster, but a criminal and all that. Green Bay was tough. So, Green Bay, it's a third game.
Do you have
game.
To use Milwaukee?
Yes. And there you get Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
One time I was playing pickleball, and I was talking to this guy, and I said, where are you from? He's like, I'm from Milwaukee. I said, hey, I went to Milwaukee, and I was there for 3 days, and, you know, I wanted to find Jeffrey Dahmer's house. He's like, oh, by the way, my cousin was the first guy he killed. And I said, hey, you guys have a good day. We'll play pickleball next time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, true story. All right, fourth one is Miami. Most notorious Miami criminal. Simple.
Scarface.
Tony Montana.
Yep.
Yep. That's exactly who it is.
Yep.
Number five, Indianapolis. It's that subway guy, Jared Fogle.
Are you serious?
He's from Indianapolis. This is the Big Joe list. That creep should be in jail for the rest of his life. He's from Indianapolis.
I was going to say Jim Irsay, but you know he stole the Colts in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's right. His daddy did.
Yeah.
The Bills is easy. You got to throw OJ in there, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you have to. I got another L.A. guy later on there that goes that. The Lions is a tough one, too. But I don't know if Rexford remembers this guy. Jack Tuco. He was the mob boss of Detroit for many, many years. Very underrated mob boss because Chicago, New York got all the attention. But Jack Tuco was an awful, awful man and ran the mob in Detroit.
Huh.
So I'm
I didn't
sure.
know that.
Yeah, so you got that one. New England's pretty easy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, you could apply him to Jacksonville, too, actually.
And we do.
Yeah.
So
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
L.A. for the Chargers. It's from the movie L.A. Confidential. It's the police chief, Dudley Smith. I mean, he guy was – did you see L.A. Confidential?
Yeah.
It's an amazing, amazing movie. You need to watch that. We're getting blasted on the text.
No, line. Michael Madison said, Joe, there's no recovering from that Dahmer story. I'm sorry.
I know. I felt bad about that.
What are the odds, though?
Yeah. I mean, look, when you go to another town, you want to go look at landmarks. I like to look where things happen. And, you know, it's been razed. It's gone. No longer there. But there it was. The guy was like, yeah, it's my cousin. Minnesota, John Dillinger.
Oh.
I did not know John Dillinger spent a lot of time in Minnesota.
Okay.
Notorious gangster in the 30s. Houston. I didn't know this either. It's where the Candyman originated from.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So a very.
By the way, you keep bringing up gangsters and, you know, the mob and stuff. Like, I'm fascinated by all that stuff.
You should be.
Like, it's just, like, Goodfellas is probably my favorite movie, you know, because it's one of the most accurate. But, like, just reading about Capone and, like, different mobsters from those days, like reading the history of Vegas, how they ran Vegas, and like that's kind of the reason the Strip exists.
That's a past tense, how they ran Vegas.
Well, run Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
Washington's pretty simple. All politicians.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you remember that with the Commanders.
Yeah.
And then Cincinnati, we'll skip Jacksonville because that's all that one you got already. We're not going to double dip. But Cincinnati, there's a guy named Donald Harvey that killed 37 people.
Jeez.
And then there was a Cincinnati Strangler up there. So no, every city has bad parts of this, but that's how I'll remember the Titans' 2024 schedule now that I go forward.
I'm going to be honest that was – I was not expecting that when you texted that last night, but
– Now you remember.
That's an interesting list.
No, we could go down the list, like the great parts of it, but I just care about Nashville.
Who would be the most notorious criminal from Nashville?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great one.
Marsh?
Who?
Perry Marsh.
Paul Reed, maybe?
Yeah, probably Paul Reed.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't feel like going down there. I mean, I'm
that was, dude, like that. For those of you that remember, like, that whole thing, Paul Dennis Reed, the fast food killer, like, as a kid, I was like 10 years old. I was scared to go to McDonald's.
He was awful.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to. In his trial in Clarksville, he had to come through us and he stopped and winked at me.
Oh.
And all the TV crews were there, and everybody looked at me, and I was like, don't look at me for this. And then he ended up dying in prison, but that was awful. The late 90s here in town.
Well, did they execute him?
He died in prison. Mm. I don't know exactly how, but he died in prison.
Right, yeah.
So with that, you have the Titans 24 schedule.
Well, I got a little dark there for a second, but you know, we'll pick things back up.
But as you said earlier, I mean, the main game is the Bears game. That's the most important game on their schedule. That's game number one on the road. You don't win that game.
Michael Madison says Morgan Wallen. Oh, man.
You got to win the – I mean, all focus now is on the Bears.
By the way, okay, so Wes in Clarksville said, y'all need to check out the exhibit on Alcatraz and Pigeon Forge. It's full of crime history. OJ's Bronco is there. Or Al Callan's Bronco is there.
No.
In Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
No way.
Yeah, I read this recently because I was like, I wonder what happened to the Bronco. And it's like, yeah, it's in Pigeon Forge.
How the hell did they get that Bronco there? I mean, I know they drove it there, I'm sure. But how did they get it? But, you know, I'm going to call BS on that because – I've been to four or five different Planet Hollywoods, and they keep – there's always the Terminator jacket. This is the jacket he wore in Terminator. I'm like, well, I'm sure he wore multiple – no, it's the jacket. I'm like, nah, I don't know about that.
Well, supposedly in the gift shop of the Smithsonian is the original model for the USS Enterprise.
I have seen that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot – the pop culture part of that place you need to go visit.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we will talk to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll do that. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Back here at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Talking Stanley Cup playoffs with our man Greg Wyshynski, who joins us every Thursday at 9:30, presented by ESPN Bet. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing well. It's a pretty good second round. I know we talked about the first round being a little... B minus C plus. This one's pushing into A territory, I think. It's been really good.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I was watching Colorado and Dallas last night, and Dallas had an opportunity to close the series out, win it 4-1. Colorado said not so fast, and got it done on the road. Really nice outing for the Avs.
Yeah, and I mean, also in the face of adversity too. I mean, you know, the Valeri Nichushkin thing with him you know, failing a drug test and having to, you know, leave for 6 months and all that stuff. I mean, the guy had 9 goals, and the news, I think, hit them like a truck. You could see it in the post-game interviews after game 4 and just how devastated they were that this whole thing fell apart like it did. So to pull together to win that game, pretty impressive. And now they get it back to Denver, which is a tough place to play.
Yeah, for sure. And then you look at games tonight. You got the Rangers in Carolina. Now the Rangers can close it out with a win, but I feel like Carolina not going away. Rod the Bod's got his team fighting.
He is. And by the way, you know, I know we've there's a lot of conjecture about Brendan Moore and like his future and his contract and everything. Everything I've come to understand in covering this series is that it's basically done. There's a lot of consternation about maybe a few details that were blown out of proportion, but I think he's going to be back as Carolina's coach.
He should be.
Yeah, he should be, right. So, you know, this is a really interesting series. I wrote about it this morning on ESPN, the idea that, you know, the Rangers had this team down and beaten, and they shouldn't have been really worried after losing game 4, but there's definitely reasons to be concerned after losing game 5. You know, their power play, the Rangers, which has powered them all postseason, has gone goalless in their last 3 games. Freddie Anderson, I thought, played pretty well in game 5. The Hurricanes seem to be getting better at 5-on-5, which was always their advantage in the series. So, you know, I don't think they wanted to be in Carolina for game 6, man. You know, we're talking about Denver being a tough place to play. The Carolina Hurricanes have the best record in the playoffs at home since Brendan Moore became their coach. So this is going to be a really, really big moment for Carolina to try to push this thing to 7. But more importantly, you know, for all this talk about this being the Rangers' year, like these are the spots you win in if you're going to win the Stanley Cup. So I'm really interested to see how the Rangers react to what is by far their biggest face of it, bout of adversity they've had this postseason.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask next. You know, Peter Laviolette comes in and has a tremendous year and obviously has this team poised to potentially win it all. I mean, you know, is the pressure – I'm not saying the job pressure, but is the pressure mounting to get over the hump and win this series, close it out, you know, tonight?
For sure, yeah. I mean, he talked about it after game 5 that he's got a level of concern because I think there was a bit of disconnect between the players and their coach, to be honest with you. And not in a, like a major way, but the players seemed to believe that the problem was the third period. Like they gave up a bunch of goals to Carolina in the third period. They end up losing the game at MSG. Laviolette afterwards is like, nah, actually the whole game was crap. You know, like we had problems the whole game. And we need to really kind of like make sure that we understand what needs to be done. And you could see it in that game. I mean, they laid an egg. I mean, they didn't attack the net. They weren't good on their details. They certainly weren't good on the power play. They just didn't have the motion and the movement that they usually have there. So it's all fixable stuff. But again, the last thing you want to do if you're the Rangers is, you know, push this thing into Raleigh where the Hurricanes are great, and then play them in a game 7. Where, you know, it's a one-bounce thing with the way that the Hurricanes play in these games. I mean, the Hurricanes, again, lost, you know, 4 straight overtime games in the conference final last year. Those are all one-bounce games. And so, I don't know. If I were the Rangers, I'd be pretty upset with myself right now for putting myself in this situation.
Although it's been, you know, 18 years since he won the Cup in Carolina, it's probably a little satisfying if Peter Laviolette and his team could close out the Carolina tonight at Carolina.
I don't know what's satisfying to him, honestly.
True. He never opened up when he was here with us. Although, Greg, I'll tell you a quick story. When he was here one time, we were doing a scrum with Laviolette, and you know, the questions are going nowhere. I'm like, hey, it's December 23rd. If you haven't bought your wife a Christmas gift, what do you need to do? He went on a 3-minute rant, Greg, about going to Walgreens and buying gift cards. It was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah, that's the most he ever talked to us.
That man strikes me as a real buying a gift card the day before Valentine's Day, the day before Mother's Day. And by the way, the only thing I think excites him is a good can of Brill cream for his hair. Likes a good tin of Brill cream. It's funny. There was a lot of talk before the series about the connections between these teams, in particular Vincent Trocheck having been with Carolina the last time they played the Rangers in the playoffs, Laviolette having obviously coached them. And he said, you know, he's kind of a nomad now. I mean, he's been in a few places, and you know, and it's not as if he has the same kind of connection with the Hurricanes as maybe he did in previous years. But yeah, I'm sure there's probably some satisfaction to try to close this thing out down there for him.
We'd always laugh too, Greg, because he looks just like the guy in the board game Operation. You remember, you'd pull the parts out of the guy. He looks just like the Operation guy. So we'd always laugh about that. Of course, you know, we never told him because we were scared to death. Chase and I like to play this game when it comes to what the league office would love to have. What's the ideal Stanley Cup final that the NHL would love to have, Greg? And the opposite of that, what's the one they're kind of like, yeah, I'm not so sure about that?
Well, I should preface this by saying I work for a rights holder, and anything I say is my own opinion.
Let's go the best one.
I'm sure my bosses have some opinions, too. I think, you know, obviously, like, Boston or the Rangers coming out of the East is the optimum thing. With the Rangers, it'd be interesting. I mean, Boston pops a huge amount of interest no matter, you know, what year it is. But they've been to the final a few times. Rangers have been to the final once. Since winning in 94, you've got the whole anniversary of the 94 Cup you can rely on. And living in New York, like, I could tell you that there's a lot of juice around this particular Rangers team just because of the personalities on it and stuff like that. And then out of the West, I mean, of the teams that are still alive, you know, it's funny. I think probably the biggest market is Colorado still. And they've got some star power and everything else, but I mean, for my money, You want McDavid in the final. Like, McDavid versus the Rangers, to me, is, like, the most interesting matchup on the table, because you have McDavid and Draisaitl, two generational talents, trying to win the Cup for the first time versus a Rangers team that's trying to win it for the first time in 30 years. You've got, you know, New York. You've got the MSG. You've got Canada with this whole thing. Like, I think that's the most interesting final that I could book if I had the book, as I say, in the wrestling business.
It'll be fun to see McDavid versus Matthews in 2047, whenever Toronto can figure out how to get there.
I mean, you know, Matthews might be playing in Utah by that point. I don't know. Like, be a little closer to home. But, no, it's LSA. That Vancouver-Edmonton series, we didn't really talk about it too much, but that's the best series of the playoffs. Like, we're only four games into it. And the amount – every game has got so much excitement. The crowds are so hot. You know, off the ice, the battle between the media and the social media. You got the McDavid thing with the suspension. You got the goalie change. Like, it is one of those operatic playoff series that sometimes can only happen between two Canadian teams. But it is, I mean, I'm putting pots of coffee on tonight, boys. That's one. I'm staying up to watch, because it is a dynamite playoff series.
Well, and I'll say this too, Greg. Like, you know, and I know that maybe Vancouver has a goalie situation, you know, have to obviously monitor that. But watching them against the Predators and seeing the chances that the Predators had to win those games, and Vancouver still found a way, whether it was lucky or not, you know, that makes a team dangerous, because it just adds to their confidence. And so when they knocked off the Preds, I'm like, if they can get through Edmonton, this team can make some noise. And I mean, they certainly are already doing that with the series tied at two.
They are. And I think, you know, the impressive thing for them, besides obviously handling the goalie situation that they were dealt, their supporting cast, I think, has outplayed Edmonton's. And I didn't think that was quite necessarily the case in the Nashville series, where I think it was a bit top heavy with guys like Besser really kind of, you know, carrying the torch. But, you know, for me, it's really all about, you know, whether the Oilers can do two things. One, play the type of defense they played in game four. They made the goalie change from Stuart Skinner to Calvin Pickard. And to me, it's not about anything that the goalies were doing. It's about what the team in front of them was doing. And they got their attention, because they played their best defensive game analytically of the playoffs in that game. And then two, is just like, how far can Connor and Leon carry this team? The biggest problem I have with the Oilers right now, as far as like having picked them to win the Cup, is I don't think it's sustainable to play McDavid and Draisaitl like 30 minutes a night. when you're in the second round of the playoffs, which is kind of where this team had been, their ice time dropped a bit in game four, thankfully, but I just got a feeling like, even if they get through the series, I mean, at some point the tank's on E for those guys having to carry this team as much as they have.
No doubt. Greg, always enjoy the chats, and we will talk next week.
Talk to you soon.
Awesome. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, presented by ESPN Bet, joins us every Thursday at 9:30. We are live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I feel like we need a laugh track. We're broadcasting at the Omni Nashville Hotel, but Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
I'm getting some, we did the criminal list about for Titans opposing opponents, and you asked about Nashville and about, you know, I'm not going on this dark road, but there was a guy named Tony Alamo. Do you remember hearing about him? He would hand out all the pamphlets downtown. So there's a lot of people weighing on the text line, like, don't forget about this guy. He was the worst, but he's from Arkansas, but he lived here for a while, and that's going back old school with Tony Alamo.
My, I was thinking about this, and I'm trying to come up with the best way to explain it. So you may remember this being in news. Do you remember the lady that she was a teacher, and she opened a new school, and it was for, like, I guess not special ed, but, like, really gifted kids, at like the really smart kids. And so she opened this school.
Okay.
And basically stole all the money. And it was like a giant embezzlement scheme. Stole all the money from the tuition. And they caught her getting off a plane in, like, the Dominican or something like that.
No, I don't remember this.
She was my first grade teacher and left to go start this school and then ended up investing all this money and going to prison.
So do you feel bad because that she didn't consider you gifted, that she didn't take you with her?
No, I mean, I guess not. No, because I was only in her class for 2 months, and then I went back to kindergarten. So I definitely wasn't, like, I definitely wasn't gifted.
Actually, I'm getting no money off this family, so I'll just send them back to kindergarten.
Nope.
And be done with it. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Oh, man, that's something else.
Yeah, that was back in the, I guess, early 90s.
Yeah, well, happened. You're still here. I'm proud
I'm
of you
still
though,
here.
For doing that. I went and found the Jeffrey Simmons thing about being upset. It's about prime. The main thing is about primetime games.
Okay.
So every team, is this still the way it is? Is guaranteed one primetime game? That's how it used to be.
I don't think so. Like, the Thursday night rule is gone because the Titans don't. It used to be you played one Thursday night game. That rule is gone because the Titans don't have one.
I knew it used to be you were guaranteed one primetime game.
No, because Carolina has none.
Not now, but a couple years ago, it used to be that way.
Yeah, maybe.
And then you could only do 6 primetime games to max out.
Yeah, that still may be the case.
But see, I just
– Cowboys usually have as many as they can.
Well, absolutely they do. They
and I don't know if that applies to flex or not.
Oh, I don't know. I think – but if I own the rights and I want to put Mahomes on every night – well, every time they play at night, I'm doing it.
Yeah, maybe.
And don't tell me this, you know. I mean, Vrabel was yelping one time, but they switch us from noon to 3 and did it. Look, it's still on Sunday. You still got to play. It's not, if your work isn't done by Sunday morning, then you're done. You're going to lose the game.
Here's my thing for Jeffrey Simmons. Be mad. That's fine. Be mad.
Yeah.
Use that. Don't worry about putting that on Twitter. Use that on the field. And I feel like he will. He's that kind of guy.
Good.
Carry that chip on your shoulder. Be pissed off.
Right.
Show them that, like, okay, everybody wants to sleep on us and say we're not very good and all that stuff. Because right now, that's what we're all saying.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think you're going to be very good. Go prove us wrong.
Yeah, and that was – I go back. You know, we had Fisher on last week. We were talking about the 10-0 season in 2008. There still wasn't a lot. The most love that team got in 2008 was when Brett Favre came here and beat them with the Jets.
Uh-huh.
People are like, look what happened. Look, they're no football team in Tennessee. Man. And they were 10-0. That was a good football team.
That's a really good team. I look at that team. The 2000 team is still the best one the Titans have ever had.
By far.
That they got beat by Baltimore in the first round. 08 might be second.
08 was pretty good. And I, you know, you can laugh at me, but the 19 team, the run they went on.
Yeah, yeah.
When they got rid of the awful Marcus Mariota quarterback experiment.
Yeah,
and put Tannehill in, they were good. They rolled through all that. So that was a fantastic job by them to do that. So a special guest here in a second. We're going to be joined by our good friend Todd Rodermill.
We'll get him.
at the Omni Nashville Hotel because they just got a big honor. If you put that on, Todd, we're going to get you, buddy. You're not going to escape not hanging out with us today. Todd, good morning, pal. You doing okay?
Gentlemen, good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. Todd Rodermel.
Hello, Todd.
Greg Pope can never get your title correctly. What's your exact title here?
Area Director of Sales and Marketing.
Area Director of Sales and Marketing. You guys just received a huge honor on Tuesday. And what was that? Tell us about it.
Well, thank you. We were named the number two meetings hotel in all of North America by Cvent, which is an online tool, if you will, for all of the meeting planners, actually worldwide, where they can go in and select their dates and their space and, you know, source it out. And, we were named number two. They started these awards back in 2015, and we have finished seven or above every single year.
That's awesome.
Number one twice, number two twice, three, four, five, and seven.
And there's a lot of competition these days for you guys. Mm-hmm. So to finish at number two, I think it's just as good as finishing number one.
Well, I don't want to use the Ricky Bobby thing. But out of probably, you know, you figure 3,000-plus hotels, convention hotels in North America, I'll take number two every single day of the week.
My goodness. It's always packed.
Well, and what's interesting to me, too, is, like, you look at when this whole new Nashville thing started and the convention center, the Music City Center got built, you guys were kind of first.
Yes.
You know, obviously the Hilton was here, but there weren't many choices. Now there are. And obviously you need that in a city, but that means you have to up your game. You know, that when you got, you know, places across the street and down the street and all that stuff that, you know, are trying to, you know, beat everybody else, you guys have to continue to elevate, and you've done that.
You know, we're fortunate because, A, we've got a great location right across from the Music City Center, a block from Bridgestone. We seamlessly connect to the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum on three levels. Second largest hotel in the state, second most amount of meeting space. And you're right, we were the first, and there's been a lot of others open, being the Grand Hyatt and the Westin and the JW and the Joseph. And, you know, we can go on, but, you know, we've upped our game. And, you know, with our associates, as I put on my post, and Joe knows it, it's all about, you know, the bus people, the servers, the waiters, the culinary, the engineers,
yeah,
the housekeepers. They're the ones that, you know, we'd go through power of engagement training every single month with every single employee in this building to, you know, keep these people coming back. It's hard to get them in the door, to get them sign the contract, because they've never been here, but once they experience the Omni Nashville and our associates, they always say, okay, find me dates in 24, find me dates in 25, we got to come back. And obviously that's attributed to Dina Ivey and Butch Spirit in at the CVC and, you know, the destination they've created. Joe, you've been here longer than I have, and you know that there was times back in the early 2000s, we wouldn't even come downtown.
Yep.
Right. wouldn't even come downtown. And, you know, look at it now. It's crazy 7 days a week.
What I like about the hotel, my thing is, if every time I come here I see new faces, I'm not a fan. I see old, familiar faces that are here. That means they like working here. I see it all the time.
You know, you remember Dan Piotrowski.
Yep.
Our opening general manager. And, you know, Dan said something that really hit me, and we teach it to all of our associates, and that's no matter who it is, whether it's Joe Dubin, you treat everybody with dignity and respect.
You better.
And everyone's fortunate. You know, we're a very busy hotel. They stay employed 40 hours a week, and that's our goal.
Yeah, it's something, because we talked about during COVID how you had nine jobs. You were housekeeping, you were valet, you were bellman. I mean, but you had to do that.
Absolutely.
And so now to see how your hotel's come back bigger, better, and just more amazing, it's got to feel great.
You know what? I never want to live those dark days of March 12th of 2020, you know, for like the next year, 18 months. To your point, yeah, I valet parked cars. I schlepped luggage. I helped in the kitchen. I bused tables. And it's all for one. And we made it to the other side. And we're bigger, better, stronger, and faster now.
Good.
Well, Todd, congratulations. Thank we always choice. Enjoy being here. Thanks for having us. And, you know, Joe and I have had about six breakfasts already. So,
it's okay.
You know,
it's on me.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, guys.
Todd Rodermel joining us here on the program. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show. We're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes.
And our question we're going to throw out there at 10 o'clock hour. We talked about it yesterday. It's happening. The Super Bowl. Will you do a pay-per-view on the Super Bowl if it comes to that? And our answers were not what I thought they would be.
Okay. We will discuss this coming up next and much more. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.